Israelites as they escape from slavery in Egypt and journey toward freedom in the Promised Land. When we encounter the people of Israel in today's scripture reading, we find them about a month and a half into that journey. God has delivered them from Egypt by parting the waters of the Red Sea. He gave them a way to escape the Egyptian chariots and troops that were threatening to overtake them. Not only did God deliver the Israelite people, he also destroyed the Egyptian army. God showed up for the Israelites in a really powerful way. But when we meet up with the Israelites a month and a half later, they seem to have forgotten how God showed up for them. And they seem to have forgotten what their lives in Egypt were really like. When we find them wandering in the wilderness today, it's clear their food has run out. They had to leave Egypt quickly, so they didn't have time to pack up any food or stock up on their supplies. Now they're hungry, they're afraid, they're angry, they are losing hope. They are not pleased that Moses and Aaron have led them into the wilderness to starve. And so they murmur, they complain, they grumble, and once again, God shows up for them. God responds to their persistent grumbling with miraculous goodness and abundant grace. Let's see how all of this unfolds as we listen for the word of God in Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. And that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Our middle hymn today is "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." Again, if you're here in the sanctuary, you will find it in the hymnal, and if you're worshiping from home, the words will drop into the comments so that you can sing along with us. Please be seated. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we had quite a week in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. There were 23 of us on this year's mission trip, and we were divided up between two different work sites. You'll have the opportunity to hear more about the trip during worship on Sunday, August 14th. That service will be led by members of the mission team, and our mission team preachers will tell you about the homeowners we got to meet and the work we got to do and the relationships we got to build. So I won't go into all of those details today, but I do want to reflect just a bit on one of the words that kept coming up for us all throughout the week. And that is the word hope. As one of our mission team members said, hope is such a little word, but it is so powerful. Now, when we go to Pennsylvania, we partner with an organization called Good Works. Their office is in Coatesville, but they serve towns all through Chester County. This year, our work sites were about half an hour outside of Coatesville in a little town called St. Peter's Village. We got to know the narrow, winding backcountry roads of Pennsylvania really well as we drove back and forth to our work sites. St. Peter's Village is one of those places that barely makes it onto a map or into a GPS system. You can ask our mission team drivers about that. The first time I drove up there, I was so grateful to be following behind one of the other van drivers who knew the way. I had put the correct address for our worksite into my GPS, but when we pulled up outside the house, Waze said I was still half an hour away from wherever it thought I was supposed to be. Getting to our worksite was an adventure, but when we got there, we discovered we were right where God needed us to be. Now, the mission of Good Works is to rebuild homes and restore hope. The rebuilding homes part of that mission, we always know our team can help with that. Our mission team is made up of professional contractors, an electrician, an HVAC technician, a professional painter, and a whole lot of really hard workers who have a whole lot of experience from all the mission trips our church has taken now. We know we can rebuild homes. We can take before pictures on Monday morning when we first arrive at our work sites and then take after pictures on Friday afternoons, and we can see the work we've done and know the difference we've made. But restoring hope, that isn't something that's always so easy to see. But this year, it was clear God was calling us to that work. Not just the work of rebuilding homes, but the work of restoring hope. And it started on day one, when our teams arrived at their work sites and saw all the things that needed to be done. The to-do lists were long, as they always are. The needs were abundant, as they always are. The work seemed overwhelming. But I remember what one of our mission team members said at the end of that first day. They said something like this: "We could have chosen to see everything that was wrong with the home at our work site, but instead we chose to see what was possible." And to me, that is what hope is about. It's about choosing to see not just what is wrong, but also what is possible. And when we can do that for each other, when we can remind each other of what is possible through the power and presence of God, that is how we restore hope. Now, the Israelites had trouble holding on to hope as they wandered through the wilderness. They couldn't see what might be possible. They only saw what was wrong. They were tired and thirsty and hungry, and so the grumbling and complaining and whining began. The Israelites said to Moses and his brother Aaron, "Why didn't God let us die in comfort in Egypt? At least there we had meat and bread, but here in this wilderness, we are starving to death. This isn't what we wanted." Now, as we know, the Israelites had left Egypt in a hurry. They didn't even have time to let the dough for their bread rise, but it seems like they still had time to pack their rose-colored glasses. Because the Israelites weren't in comfort back in Egypt. They weren't free to sit around and enjoy meat and bread until their bellies were full. They were slaves. It's amazing what the power of nostalgia can do, especially when the future is uncertain. As the Israelites looked ahead, they could only see what was wrong. They could only see hunger and thirst and death. They couldn't see what might be possible through the power and presence of God, even though God had shown up for them in the parting of the Red Sea, even though God had shown up for them just a few days into their journey by providing them with water, even though God had already shown up for them, they somehow didn't think it was possible for God to show up again. Now, it can be easy for us to disapprove of the Israelites' doubt. It can be easy for us to criticize their complaining. It can be easy for us to stand in judgment of their hopelessness because we know how the story goes. We know that God will keep showing up for them over and over again. And yet I wonder how many of us can relate to the Israelites if we take a step back from criticism and try instead to feel some compassion. I wonder how many of us know how hard it is to hold on to hope in the midst of desperate times. Struggling with mental health, battling addiction, losing a loved one, ending a relationship, worrying about money, fighting for justice, it can be hard to hold on to hope in the midst of desperate times. That is why God calls us to the hard and holy and beautiful work of restoring hope. Our call as Christians is to see not only what's wrong in our lives or with the world, we are also called to see what is possible. We are called to remind each other of what is possible through the power and presence of our God. We are called to remind each other that God will keep showing up for us no matter what. You know, I noticed something different when I read our scripture text from Exodus this time around. I noticed not just what God provided, but how God provided. God covered the Israelites' camp with a layer of manna every morning and a flock of quail every evening. Every morning and every evening, the Israelites had to come out of their tents and gather the gifts God provided them. God could have put just the right amounts of manna and quail in each tent if God had wanted to. God had the power to do that. But God didn't choose to provide for them in that way. They had to come out of their tents in order to gather what they needed. They had to be in community in order to see how God showed up for them. They had to be together in order to see what was possible through the power and presence of God. That's one of the things that stood out for me over and over again this past week in Pennsylvania. Our work crews got to build relationships with their homeowners while they were rebuilding their homes. Every day, Joe and Dee and Sam would come out of their homes and work alongside us. We got to talk with them and laugh with them. We got to eat meals with them and pray with them. we got to show them over and over again what is possible through the power and presence of God. We got to do the hard and holy and beautiful work of restoring their hope. Now, restoring hope might be part of the mission of good works, but we also need to remember it's part of our mission as Christians. We are called to bear witness to the power and presence of our God, a God who shows up for us over and over again, oftentimes in ways we can't even imagine. And God calls us to do this work in community. The wilderness of desperation can be such a lonely place. Those of us who have wandered in that wilderness know that to be true. So, friends, I wonder, who is God calling you to talk with and laugh with, to eat with and pray with? Who in your life needs to know they are not alone? Who in your life needs to hear the good news that all that is wrong with the world is not the end of the story, that God has more in store for us than we could ever imagine? Who in your life needs their hope restored? Hope is such a small word, but it is so powerful. And it is so important to remember that we can help to restore hope by seeing what is possible through the power and the presence of our God. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn today is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.